Whether your marriage relationship is strong or suffering from neglect, husbands and wives can't afford to take their partner for granted. It takes deliberate effort and lots of grace to cultivate a healthy relationship. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, we find clear-cut counsel for married couples. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from this passage, hoping to awaken both husbands and wives to the powerful expression of grace. In the event you missed any portion of yesterday's program, we'll begin with helpful highlights. Chuck titled today's message, A Marriage Oiled by Grace.
Now, in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, there is a wonderful series of thoughts beginning at verse 15. He begins with a concern for how they walk. He says, be careful how you walk, not they, but we. Be careful how you walk. Don't walk as unwise, but walk as wise people. Make the most of your time, because days are really evil. Do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So there is the need to walk in wisdom, walk within the parameters of God's will, and in doing so, don't get drunk with wine, but instead be drunk with the Spirit. Be intoxicated with His power. Be filled to overflowing. Let Him take control of your life. Now, when filled with the Spirit, look at the results. They're right here for us to read. You have a melodious heart. You speak to one another in psalms and hymns, and you make melody with your heart to the Lord. There's a music about your life. There's a harmony. There's a beauty about carrying the melody or singing in harmony through life. Furthermore, you have a grateful heart, verse 20, giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then you have a submissive heart, verse 21. You're filled with the Spirit, so you have a melodious, grateful, submissive heart. Wives, let it flow into your marriage. You would fight to the end for submission to your Lord. Carry it out with your mate. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior. As the church is subject to Christ, so ought wives also to be in everything with their husbands. Now, husbands, you and I are beginning to feel a little smug, but there's a lot more verses written to us than written to our wives here. Husbands, verse 25, look at that very next word, love your wives. Love your wives as Christ, look at the analogy again, it's back to the Christ and the church, who gave himself up for her. I love the way someone put it. The wife loves her husband so much to live for him, but the husband loves his wife so much he would die for her. Which brings me to this third section in 1 Peter 3, the grace to fulfill distinct roles here. In a context of submission, and once again, this beautiful relationship that has been cultivated before the Lord Jesus, that now folds its way into the home. There is the wife who finds delight in giving herself, as I mentioned from the Ephesians passage, so wonderfully that she obeys the Lord even if the husband doesn't. You say, well, it would be great to do that if I had a husband that would like it and would love the Lord. But this passage is written to one who has a husband that doesn't love the Lord. He is clearly, verse 1, disobedient to the word. But how is he won? He is won without a word by the behavior of the wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. It's a wonderful word translated observe. It means a keen looking into something, like you'd watch a replay on a close call. The husband observes that kind of behavior and it blows him away. Now, the tendency is to substitute that with external things. And so he gets us at that point, wives. He says, let not your adornment be external only. Braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, and putting on dresses. I've heard preachers go nuts with verse 3. Say, aha, you see there? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't wear those things. You shouldn't braid your hair. You shouldn't wear gold jewelry. But I never heard one of them say, you shouldn't put on a dress. So that's not the interpretation. The emphasis is on the word only. The tendency is to substitute the external adornment for internal character. And that's why verse 4 is so important. But let it be the hidden person of the heart. That's what's so great about grace. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, so precious in the eyes of God. Now be careful with what you do with that, ladies. Doesn't mean that if you really fall in love with the Lord, you can start looking like an unmade bed. That's not the idea. I said for years, you can be a fundamentalist, you just don't have to look like it. That's all. There can be a beauty in external, but don't let the external beauty take all of your time so that you leave out the grace. Or you'll just be attracted to somebody that wants external beauty. What holds a husband in the long run is internal character. Here's the role. You want to know the wife's role? To model true femininity with character traits that are precious to God and impressive to her husband. That's your role. To model femininity with character traits that are precious to God and impressive to your husband. It'll get results. God will honor it. That, by the way, will help in the bonding, because your husband will then want to be masculine. Verse 7, husbands likewise, just as the wife has a role of submission to the Savior and to her husband, so the husband in submission to Christ, likewise. Live with the woman, live with your wives in an understanding way. The word live with means to be at home with, not just come in the house and eat and stare at a television, belch and go to sleep. That's not what live is about. To live with is to get to know, to be at home with, to make a priority of the husband-wife relationship. That is living with, and in fact it says literally, live with your wife according to knowledge. You really know her. You know what she's like down deep. You know her the way she's put together. You know her deepest hurts, her fears. You know where she needs affirmation and encouragement, and you give it. You live with her according to knowledge. She's a weaker vessel, physically weaker. Clearly that's been proven. She's a woman, meaning she's not a man. You don't live with a wife like you live with another man. You live with a wife who is different in so many ways, and she will adore you knowing her differences and your respect for that. So the husband's role is to provide genuine masculinity, unselfish and sensitive leadership that strengthens the home and gives dignity to the wife. See how the verse concludes? Grant her honor as a fellow heir, the grace of life. The husband's role is to provide genuine masculinity, unselfish and sensitive leadership that strengthens the home and gives dignity to the wife. You know what? The kids will have no problem bonding. They'll bond right. They'll grow right. They'll hit the road running in society, and they'll understand what it's like to be a man or what it's like to be a woman. And they'll like themselves. In a fascinating book by Dr. Willard Harley, entitled His Needs, Her Needs, he includes a study of over 20 years of counseling people who are married or married and along with that having marital affairs. During this time, he has gathered over 15,000 questionnaires that deal with sexuality. And as a result of the behavior of his clients, which he found to be similar in many ways, he came up with 5 major needs of women and 5 major needs of men. Ah, good for you. You decided to write that down, didn't you? Okay. Now write both sides down, all right? That's only fair. Now understand, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, couples fit rather well into this grid, these five major needs. For the women, affection, conversation, honesty and openness, financial support, and family commitment. The wife loves those qualities, according to Dr. Harley, more than any other. Affection, conversation, someone to talk with, someone to listen. Honesty and openness, someone who is vulnerable, who will do more than say, pass the potatoes. Or why are we watching that channel? Or did you get gas last week for the car? Honesty and openness. Fourth, financial support. And fifth, family commitment. She wants to know you're committed to that home. That helps her with nesting. That's terribly important to her, that your great joys are connected in some great ways with that home. By the way, by affection, I mean the feeling that she's truly prized and cherished and nourished and loved, not that your hands are all over her at all times. Which brings me to the number one need of men. Now that we've got that written down, number two. We were sharing as a staff this several weeks ago, and I said, why don't we, just to get things started, why don't we talk about the feeling we like the most, and then let's talk about our greatest fear. And then it suddenly dawned on me, and I said, no, let's talk about the feeling we like second best of all, and then our greatest fear, or our second greatest fear, when you stop to think about it. Sexual fulfillment is a man's greatest desire. Second, recreational companionship. How interesting that Dr. Harley came up with that one. Recreational companionship, someone who likes to do what I like to do in leisure. Third, an attractive spouse. Aha. He likes a wife who keeps herself attractive. Fourth, domestic support. He enjoys knowing you're committed to the home as well. And fifth, admiration. I think that sexual expression followed closely by respect, directly linked with one another. How tempting, wives, how tempting to be little girls. How tempting to be little girls who want a daddy in the husband. Little girls who want to act irresponsibly and carry on irresponsibly, and a husband to quickly come and take your need and to sweep you away. And you manipulate that so well. How easy, men, to be little boys, tempted to just get our way, to refuse to grow up, to be moody, to manipulate our way with financial irresponsibility. That's the way little boys act. They spend everything they've got. To be overly critical, to be demanding, to be unthoughtful. Now, you know, every time I speak on this, it is always interesting to watch the parking lot. Oh, honey, here, let me help. Oh, no, let me take your, I'll carry your Bible, whatever. Maybe Chuck's watching. Oh, let me help you. So today doesn't count, okay? Do you notice in verse 7 that we are heirs together of, what is it? Grace of life. Grace of life. Heirs, let's take each word, heirs. We are fellow heirs of the grace of life. Fellow speaks of mutual equality. Would you put the authority thing to bed? You operate in grace, the authority thing will occur. God will work it out. It's like a pastor who is determined to have the authority of a church. And my counsel is, operate in grace. It'll come to you in abundance. Mutual equality, fellow, heirs, mutual dignity. Both of you get the same inheritance. Mutual dignity, grace, mutual humility. You stumble over each other thinking of the other person. What a pleasure that would be, huh? Life, mutual destiny, mutual equality, dignity, humility, destiny. And I'll tell you, the magnet in that home is so strong, you don't want to be anywhere else. I've said for years that my favorite place on earth is just an inch or so inside the door of my home. Absolutely love it in there. There I find security and acceptance and fulfillment and accountability, responsibility. The best things in the world for me are right there at home, and I can't fake them out. You say, well, you know, Chuck, I really hear you, but man, if you knew how unlovely, if I only knew how unlovely you were when the Savior died, I would be just as amazed that he took you in. But he did. If we only knew how fast and far you were running from the Savior when he found you and brought you to himself, none of us would believe you'd really belong in the family. But he found you. And in grace he stooped. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes and close your Bible. Let's just sit before the Lord here. Thank you, single friends, for sitting through this so patiently and hearing what I hope for you is preview of coming attractions. But even if it's not, these are the things you can pray for us who are married, who are working on the most challenging of all earthly relationships. It's been a long time since some of you men have thought this deeply about your marriage. Husbands are hearing some things today that we need to hear. Maybe you've heard enough to say, you know what, Chuck? I'm the problem. I'm mainly the problem. I don't love her as Christ loved the church. I wouldn't die for her. I live angry at her. Oh, my. Stop. Let's start there. And husbands, think biblically. Reason theologically. Think back over the words, sacrifice, sanctify, forgive, honor, nourish, cherish. Couple of ideas about words of vulnerable tenderness. These all help you start over. Wives, you have an eternal relationship with your Lord, and in his sovereign plan, he placed you with this man. Okay? Start there. That's reasoning theologically. Where you go with that, not to stupid extremes, but where you go with that in a balanced way could make the whole difference in your attitude. When Cynthia and I went through our stuff, many a night in tears, all I could do was say, Lord, I submit myself to you, to what you want to teach me in this. And I would hear her say similar things and then hold us together. Help us through this. Here we are because the Lord stayed true to his promises. The only reason you can't do it is you don't have the Savior. Now, if you're without the Lord, this is all activity of the flesh, and it'll soon cool again. You'll be back on your own. So what a wonderful moment for you, right where you're sitting, to sort of build an altar before the Lord and right there in your lap and say, here's my life, Lord. You're the one that's been missing. I've tried all the other stuff, but today I come just as I am, sinful, lost, confused,
broken, distant. And I thank you for taking me into your family. I come by faith alone in Christ alone to have a new life that only you can give me, starting today. Contact us. Let us know that you've made that decision. Don't try to make this journey on your own. You need help with it. There are a few things that some of us do really well, but one of them is to help people grow spiritually. We can help you do that. Lord, today we're admittedly in a culture that's lost its way, forgotten the pattern, if they ever knew it, have gotten the threads all mixed up, and the rug is a mess. It's really a disaster. The fracturing of homes has become commonplace so that we no longer even raise our eyebrows when we hear of another one that goes under. I pray, therefore, that something which was presented from your exacting pattern called the Word of God would find root and bear fruit in some lives. That you'd give the men the courage to say, I am wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Let's start over. I pray that you would give the wives who have heard these words great capacity to believe their husbands, to work alongside them to help make this a reality. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, who is here for us, who loved us and modeled all these things before us. Help us, Lord, help us as we live out his life through the power of your Spirit. And now unto him who is able to guard us from stumbling and to present us blameless before your presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Through Christ our Lord we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Today's message from Chuck Swindoll is titled, A Marriage Oiled by Grace. To hear any portion of this message again, you can find it online at insightworld.org. As you followed along today, perhaps you've been thinking of your significant other. Maybe this is a timely message for your marriage, and for sure even healthy relationships would benefit from this biblical teaching on grace. Remember, you can easily send a link to the program to your husband or wife. Just forward the web address insight.org or send the link to the daily podcast. Well, Easter Sunday is right around the corner. It's the grandest of all Christian celebrations, because Resurrection Sunday represents the core message of our faith. In light of this coming holiday, we've set aside a message for you. Chuck delivered a sermon called The Cross We Proclaim. And you can go online right now to request a complimentary CD or MP3 at insight.org/cross. And when you're finished listening, be sure to pass along this message to a friend. Now, this offer is valid in the U.S. only. And again, it's called The Cross We Proclaim. This daily radio program and the many free resources provided by Insight for Living Ministries are made possible through the generous support of people just like you. We invite your partnership in this cause, knowing God will use your generosity to touch men and women all over the world with his simple message of grace. Rather than go through the process of sending a one-time gift, thousands in our listening family have elected to set up an automated contribution. We call them monthly companions. This is a powerful way to partner with us because your support has 12 times the impact over the course of 1 year. Signing up is quick and simple when you call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Take it from Chuck Swindoll. There's nothing quite like the beauty of the great frontier.
Wide open skies, pristine glaciers with various shades of blue and turquoise mingled within them, towering pine trees, and all manner of wildlife. I'll tell you, Alaska is truly a masterpiece of God's creation.
I've been to a lot of places and seen a lot of things, but honestly, nothing compares to the beauty in Alaska. God is awesome.
Please plan to come with us on Insight for Living Ministries' 40th anniversary cruise to Alaska. It will be held June 29 through July 6, 2019.
When I'm in Alaska, I feel like I'm in an amazing painting created by God.
Let yourself get lost in the majestic beauty. Spend quality time with those you love. Allow God to refresh your soul as you reflect on His Word and His goodness in your life.
To learn more, go to insight.org/events or call this number 1-888-447-0444. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll talks about the charming joy of grace giving. Right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Marriage Oiled by Grace, was copyrighted in 1988, 1990, 1996, 2004, 2013, and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.